Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, and Will T. Ray. Jeezy's out. We are part of Empire Media, and that's empiremedia.com. Will T., what it do, my man?
Everything's copacetic on this end, man. You know, long-awaited Kanye West album dropped Sunday. A little bit disappointed.
What? Know? Okay, it was this Sunday.
Sunday, you know what? Yeah, this past Sunday. Mm-hmm. It wasn't everything, you know, we expected to be. But, you know, I guess, it'll hold us over for our Sunday activity until 2 weeks from now when the NFL is back.
Okay, so it was bad? It wasn't a great album? I was expecting vintage Kanye, so I'm going to go back and, like, check it out.
Some of the production on it, it wasn't as smooth as I thought it would be, some of the mixes and the production.
Mm.
But, you know, overall, you know, he got his message across, you know, trying to, create non-secular music, somewhat secular artists. It's kind of a good mashup, you know.
He
keeps a balance.
I think I did see something on social media, though. Was Kendrick on it?
No, I don't believe Kendrick.
Okay, maybe not. Maybe this Kendrick dropped his own thing. I have to go search for music again. I've been busy this week, over the last couple of weeks.
This
so
is the culture, man. What are you doing?
Bro, I've been bumping. The game's been shut down already since Nas came back and Lauryn Hill dropped that track. So it don't even matter right now. All this music don't even matter. That album is where it's at anyway.
Yeah, Kings of Age 2 is tight. I will give you that.
Yeah, right? So you with me, though, right? And you know, you okay.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, good. Because, you know, we usually don't agree with music like that. You know what I'm saying? We usually don't. But, I mean, in terms of, you like New Age dudes. You can listen to New Age dudes. I can't listen to New Age dudes like that.
I don't know. I listen to everything.
Yeah, I know.
I reject your premise, New Age dudes. I listen to everything. I give everything an unbiased try.
Facts. Some you do?
Of it I'm not a fan of. Some things I am a fan of.
Yeah. I give you credit. You are. You do listen to everything, man. I tried, though, man. I tried listening to Future, 2 Chainz, and all them. I mean, I like at the same time. I like the same time joint with Future. And that's how old, you know, in terms of what I can listen to Future. And that was a while ago. I can't listen to that song, though. That's my workout song, actually.
Amazing yourself, man.
I know, bro. Hey, Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kahn Report, hosted by ESPN Washington football team insider John Kahn, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
This show can be found on Podcast DC, the new local app in the DMV region. Download Podcast DC app to hear all of Empire shows as well as other great content.
Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition. Pre-game.
Here's what we have on tap. Co-host of the Football Garbage Time Podcast, Full Press Washington Coverage Podcast, and Ref the District Podcast, Trevor Storrs will join the show to talk about the Washington football team cutting down their roster to 53. That was a lot. Like, my man Trev is on a lot of freaking podcasts.
He's a busy man.
I know, right? The hustle is real, bro. At 8:30, we'll talk about some of the notable NFL rookies we've seen during the preseason. Finally, we'll talk about Ben Simmons asking to be traded and the Lakers signing point guard Rajon Rondo. You could tell that was a favoritism move by myself. All right. Right now, we have co-hosts of the Football Garbage Time Podcast, Full Press Washington Coverage Podcast, and the District Podcast, Trevor Storrs on the line. What's good, Trev, and welcome to the urban sports scene.
Oh, what's up, guys? How you doing? It's good to be back. I was on All Gold Burgundy Everything, Wolay's, and now I'm part of urban sports scene for round two. I'm ready to get it. Thanks for having me, guys.
And you get to meet Will. This is this is what you, when you get to.
I mean, they don't allow me to do the other content, but you know,
you gotta get your contract renegotiated, Will. You gotta get your contract situation.
What contract?
Yeah. See, Trev, you start something. You start beef right now.
I need to get an agent first of all.
Hey, yo, Trev, you start some NWA stuff right now, bro. You can't be doing that, bro. You can't come on this show.
I'm not tampering.
Hey, Trev, we know about the Football Garbage Time Podcast with Hakun Wan, but can you tell our listeners about the Ref the District Podcast and the Full Press Washington Coverage Podcast?
Yeah, so I'm going to start off with Full Press Coverage. The reason why I started this whole sports journalism journey, George Carmi gave me a chance to write some articles for his team. I've got about 7 articles, something like that, out for him. We just recently started up a audio and visual podcast. We got 2 episodes out now on YouTube. Check those out. So we're just getting started with that. Big things coming for that podcast. And then after being on your show, Wale, All Burgundy Gold Everything and Football Garbage Time, Ref the District, met those guys at training camp. They wanted me to be on their show. I went on their show a couple of times. They liked me so much that they made me a co-host about a month ago. So
awesome.
I'm a part of that. We talk all DC sports on that podcast, Wizards, Nationals, Capitals, Mystics, and of course the Washington football team, but we kind of favor the Washington football team, at least as of right now, because that's in season. But like I said, we cover all DC sports. You can find us on all social platforms for all these podcasts: Apple, Spotify, iTunes, or on YouTube. We post live on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube on our shows on Thursday nights, and Full Press Coverage Pod, it's just a random night thing right now. We don't have a set schedule, but we will soon. And Football Garbage Time Audio, yeah, you guys know about that on Monday nights. So I'm out here. Grind is real.
I see. We see, man. And if you need to talk about anything Nationals, Will is your Nationals guy. Will loves – he loves the Nats. He's the Nats fan on the team.
Okay.
FYI.
Hey, so Will, real quick about that. How do you feel about trading away the entire team real fast?
I mean, listeners of this show know that I came out with the opinion that you had to start new, you had to let it all go. This team, the way it was built, was not built to be in contention for a World Series pennant. And if you're not in it for a World Series pennant, then you might as well just hit the reset button and start over.
That's a good opinion. A lot of on Ref the District, they hate it. They think it was the dumbest move in the world, especially with Trey Turner. But hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me. Yeah,
I definitely could understand how fans would be disappointed with the Trey Turner move. I was of the opinion that he was the one guy you should have kept. I believe that you made the right decision to get rid of Schwarber.
Scherzer.
Get rid of Scherzer, Brad Hand, those guys, but, Trey Turner, not so much. But, that's for another day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, Will's on you, bro. You on tap, Will?
Oh, man. Oh, it is? Oh, man. Wow, okay. All right. Washington made final cut today. Any surprises, Trevor?
Yes, I got 2 of them. Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty consistent of the 2. Jimmy Moreland, first of all, I never saw that coming. Honestly, I thought they would keep him on at least for depth in the slot. But I guess our defensive back room is so versatile that we can afford to get rid of him. I think he was better his rookie year than he was his last year. Mm-hmm. He was an excellent run defender as a cornerback, which is kind of surprising. he liked to meet a lot of guys in the line of scrimmage. That was nice. But and he had a couple interceptions in camp that kind of got him the name of People's Corner. And then last year he just kind of digressed a little bit. But I didn't think enough to not make it this season. So mm-hmm. that was surprising. And then, honestly, Antonio Gandy-Golden. Just because the team all season was praising how good he was and how his size was a good trait to have and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And then they cut him. I wasn't surprised personally because mm-hmm. I never saw any of that they saw in him. But I guess to the whole Washington fan base, it's a surprise because the coaches seem to be really high on him, but he's gone. So those are my two. Mm-hmm.
Go, Will.
Did Cam Sims get cut?
No, he made the team.
No, he did not.
He made the team.
Yeah, that's my guy, man. I've been singing his praise for a long time.
Good for you, man.
To really take it to the next level. You know,
good for you, Will T. Good for you, Will T. I think
that's
Cam.
My point. That's your hey, man. That's my thing.
He was no. my surprise cut, honestly. I thought he was going to get cut.
Who, Cam?
Yeah, I really thought so.
I knew he wasn't going to get cut because he didn't play the last preseason game. So then I was like, all right, he's probably safe. Because I was surprised he didn't play the last preseason game, to be honest with you. Gandy Golden was surprised he got cut, but not really surprised in this aspect. It's like if you do cut him, there's a high chance that he can make the practice squad. I know a lot of people are like mm-hmm. they're looking at him like, oh, someone's going to claim him. But that's, you know, a lot of times in this fan base, we kind of – are overly in love with our own. And yeah. I just think that a lot of teams, if you look at situations where, you know, other receivers are getting cut and released and whatnot, you know, a lot of fan bases can say the same. So, I mean, let's just be honest. He didn't produce that much as – he didn't produce any – like I saw what you tweeted. He didn't produce anything his rookie year. And you didn't really get to see anything in preseason. So what can you really go off of unless you were in love with him while he was on Liberty, to be honest with you? I don't see a threat to say, oh, someone's going to snatch him. The same thing with Cam Sims. When he was released, you know, some people saw him play. They saw him ball out in preseason. When they released him, it was, oh, you know, somebody's going to snatch him. No one snatched him, right? No one really snatched him. So he came back. So I just see it the same way. So it's a guy that you can bring back and, you know, kind of continue to work on him while with the practice squad. If he clears waivers, which I expect him to. I expect him to clear waivers, to be honest with you. I personally think he's better than Cam Sims, but that's me. And I know that I just see more ability in terms of catching the football on an average rate. But that is what it is. That's neither here nor there. Neither dude was going to play like that anyway in the regular season, to be honest with you. When you have.
I'm actually.
Good. No, go ahead. No, go, go. Coach Ray.
I've actually wanted Kelvin Harmon to stay. I thought he showed more in practice and last season than AGG.
No, he's been all of them.
Without even giving him a really look. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was a good blocking wide receiver, mm-hmm. great hands. He was a pretty good route runner. He was strong, physical, mm-hmm. and they just didn't give that man a chance coming off a torn ACL. I think that was – he kind of got the raw end of a deal on that one, so.
No, I agree. I think to your point with even that, like if you really want to be honest in terms of production, right? When they all had an opportunity, all healthy, who showed more promise? It would be Harmon. Just unfortunately, then he had that ACL injury. But yeah, I totally agree. That's a fair, valid point. I just think it all really doesn't matter in a grand scheme of things for this roster in terms of playing time. I mean, you're gonna have scary Terry. You're gonna have De'Ami Brown, yep. Samuels, Humphreys. So to be real, like, chances for that receiver, barring injury, whoever has that extra slot, playing time will be scarce. And De'Ami Brown is, if you look at what he does as a wide receiver, he does pretty well with getting those high contested catches, right? He got that was his thing in college with his speed, and he showed that even in preseason. So to me, it's like, all right. Really, in the grand scheme of things, people talk about the big receiver, but they're going to be very limited within this offense, just from what I've seen already in the preseason. And you mentioned Jimmy Moreland. I was surprised. I mean, I'm still surprised because there's certain players on this team that, to me, aren't better than Jimmy Moreland, but they cut him. You know, you got Apke, who moved to cornerback. He's still on this roster. And I hear the special teams talk, but I think Brian Mitchell said it early on his show. And I totally agree with him. It's like Apke, everyone says he can do a little bit. He can do a little bit of everything. He can play special teams. He played cornerback and safety. But in the grand scheme of things, those things that they're referring to, he doesn't play well. And you could say special teams, he's good, but he's not special as a special teamer. He's adequate. And you can say to your point, you can say that Jimmy can do that. And a guy who else was cut was Jeremy Reeves. I think Jeremy Reeves is a better safety. Yeah, he's a better safety. And also he's a better and special teams. He can play teams. It goes to the point where, again, Apke could be better, but he's not that much more better than Reeves in special teams. And Reeves is a way better safety than Apke.
See, I think Jeremy Reeves was a fan favorite because he was a funny guy, good personality, and they were high, I think, on that interception of the last game of the season last year, but it was just a blatant errant throw, and it was given to him. But I just think if he wanted to make it as a safety, we have other safeties on the team that are way better than him. I hate to admit it, but I really agree. And people think that he should not have been cut, but you got DeSaisre Everett, Bobby McCain, Cam Curl, Landon Collins. And then you got Jeremy on the outside looking in. Like, I don't see him fitting in that group at all. Shazer Everett, people questioning him, but he has a C on his chest for a reason.
Yeah, he should make the same
easily.
They're
not going to get rid of him.
Yeah.
So I just think they made a good choice by cutting Jeremy Reeves. He's okay, but he's just not as good as people thought he was, I don't think.
Oh, I'm just comparing him to Apke. Everybody's compared to Apke.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. Even though it is Trapke season, y'all, it's Trapke season.
Obviously, but I'm just saying, I'm just comparing to that dude, man. Just, you know, it is what it is. I feel like certain individuals on this football team have, like, something on Coach Rivera, because you got Hopkins and Apke, jobs, man. They got jobs. All good. All praise to them, though. They're probably nice guys, though. Will, you can take the next segment, bro. I think I'm done now, Will.
Come on, Will.
No, I'm not asleep. I mean, you know, if we're following, you know, kind of this outline.
I know. It's really on me. It ain't Will. It's on me, man. I apologize.
My bad, Will. My bad, Will.
But, you know, anyway, you know, let's pause for the call. You're listening to the Urban Sports. Yeah, I mean, listen, this is what happens when it's free labor. You know what I mean? You want better product, you know.
My God.
All right, I'm done with that. I ain't going to tamper no more. I'm done.
Oh, man.
All right, you are listening to the Urban Sports Team, part of Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. We're chatting with Trevor Storrs, co-host of Football Garbage Time Podcast, Full Press Washington Coverage Podcast, and Ref the District Podcast.
Hey Will, right. I do apologize. It's on me. I saw the out. You're right. I'm sorry.
You know, hey, listen, man. Let's go back in time to last Friday, the Ravens game.
Okay.
Did the last preseason game against the Baltimore Ravens change the fate of some of the players, or do you think that the coaching staff already made their minds prior to that third preseason game?
I think it impacted it, especially with the cornerback spot. Rivera mentioned that Darrell Roberts had a good past 2 weeks, especially in the Ravens game. He shined a little bit. And Torrey McTyer has been shining all offseason, OTAs, mini camp, training camp, and preseason until he got injured with a concussion. And I think that's the reason why Jimmy Moreland was kind of pushed to the side, because other guys stepped up to the plate and kind of did what they were expecting Jimmy Moreland to do. So I think that kind of played a little bit impact on that. And with the Jarrett Patterson, Peyton Barber on this team, but once he had that whiff on the pass block and ran for no yards on a short yardage down, I think Jarrett Patterson, with his pass blocking and the way what he's done in preseason so far, kind of stamped his position. And the Ravens game was the final straw for Peyton Barber. So,
were you scared?
I was happy to see Jarrett Patterson made the roster. He's a local PG County guy. So I was happy to see that he made it past the final cuts per se. Let's see if he's still on the active roster come week one. But I'm definitely rooting for that guy.
Right.
No, I'm rooting for him too. Were you scared for him though when he had those drop passes? I was kind of shook for him. I was like, I don't know now.
he looked really shaky.
Yeah.
But he'll get better.
No, I like him. I said this before. I think that to me, just in terms of playing running back, I just think he's the best natural runner on the football team. Peyton Barber messed up when he decided to lose weight. That was the only thing he had going for him, was being a bigger back, and he lost some weight. And to me, I mean, if you're going to lose weight, then get faster, and you were still slow, so then it defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
Like, all right, then you're not a power back. Now you're a slow, you're a slower, skinnier back. Okay, yeah, you.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, you kind of messed yourself up.
I don't think he ain't been good since he left Tampa Bay, to be quite honest.
Yeah, he hasn't. But you know what? For them last season, though, that role was great. Yeah. Like, he was great at that role. Like, getting the short yardage, if you needed to kind of get a touchdown at the one-yard line, where, you know, you saw Gibson kind of struggle a little bit initially, got better as the season went on. But Peyton Barber got those tough yards and fairly, you know, fairly consistently, right? So, you know, once he decided to lose, drop the weight, he kind of lost that edge. I was like, all right, bro, like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you want Lucevac? Like, you, I mean, bro, you slow. It's okay. You gotta claim what you are. You gotta claim what you are. You can't.
Right. You got a job too.
You got a job. Yeah. You had a job. Say it again, bro. You had a job.
You had a job.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no knock, but
he got fired on his day off. Like, how you get?
Bro, don't do that to him. Don't do. Don't do that too. But now to your point, like, you know, cornerbacks did step up. You know what I'm saying? Though I still think, like, Jimmy had a bad game, though. I watched that. Like, Jimmy had a bad game. Like, his last game was a bad game. Like, that priest, he didn't play well that priest. He was getting beat that preseason game. But still didn't think he was going to get cut over, what's that other corner? Daryl what?
Daryl Roberts.
Short. I didn't think he was. I still think Jimmy was better than Daryl Roberts. But yeah, I mean, Jimmy did his last game wasn't that. His last preseason game wasn't good, and so Reeves too. To be honest with you, Reeves' last preseason game wasn't good either. So, that I think that kind of played a part. But all in all, to a certain extent, I do think they had their minds kind of made up. But I think for Jimmy, I think Jimmy's. Play. I think Jimmy, though, I do think the last preseason game kind of ended his fate, though, because I just thought he was playing a lot, but he just wasn't playing well. And that's coming off of what we saw, like you said, the rookie year. And I thought last season he was fair. I thought he was good for what they tried to make him do. But the preseason, like that last preseason game was like, and that's it's a sign when you got to play for a long time. It's definitely a sign. It is what it is. It was a terrible preseason game anyway.
With division opponent.
Yeah, exactly. It was a terrible preseason game anyway. So,
well, let me ask you this, Trevor. Speaking of that last preseason game against the Ravens, suffered a significant injury with J.K. Dobbins, starting running back.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on, you know, got on coaches playing starters, you know, in that last preseason game for more than just like a series or half a series?
I think the league should come out with a mandated rule that starters can only play a series or two last preseason game, because that was just ridiculous. Like, it's a no-brainer. You're playing a meaningless game. You already know who J.K. Dobbins is. You already know who Lamar Jackson is. Like, why is there even a reason for them to suit up and show out and play in the last preseason game? And this is what happens. I hate it for J.K. Dobbins. I mean, yeah, it could have happened in practice. It could have happened in regular season. But, like, it happened before he even got to show what he can add to the team this season, the regular season. And it looks bad. It looks bad on John Harbaugh. It looks bad on the organization. But then again, you have other teams who play starters, and they don't get hurt. And they're I don't see the problem. So it's a double-edged sword. But I personally think you should not play your starters in the last preseason game, whether it's 3 games, 4 games, 2 games, whatever. I don't think it should happen.
Well, I was about to ask you, because, you know, now the NFL has gone to 3 preseason games. So there's like 2 weeks in between, you know, actual game action until the season starts. Do you think that, you know, even with that change in the schedule, you still don't think that that's a good idea?
I don't. I don't think it's a good idea, because just like for this example right now, it's you just lost your star running back. And pretty much whatever the last preseason game is, whether it be 4-game schedule or 3-game schedule, you're not going to be going against the ones on defense. So what's even the point of putting your starters out there to go against?
That was my point. Yeah.
That's doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's like, what are you going to – my thing about – like, because you already knew the plan of Coach Rivera. That was already pretty much broken down. The plan was if you're John Harbaugh, it's like, all right, you're putting Lamar Jackson and J.K. Dobbins or your offense out there to play against basically second, third stringer. So what are you really going to learn from it? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you not? Yep. The competition level isn't even in the same. So, all right. Not even close. Yeah. So basically you're going in, I'm guessing you said you can go in fresh or whatever, but you're better off. You can do that. You can have, honestly, you can have that type of, you can have a better show, a better test by practicing against your own rather than practicing against that, playing against that.
Exactly.
That's the, that was
Lamar Jackson got sacked. What if he would have got like tackled and went down funny or something? That would have been awful as well. So like,
yeah, it just would have made more sense to me if he, if say both teams are playing ones, then I would have been like, all right, even though if an injury happened, even though I wouldn't be in favor of it, but if an injury happened, if I would be like, all right, at least you're testing yourself. Like, all right, you're testing yourself before the season. Like you're going against high level competition to get you ready for the season. But if you're going against guys who, go ahead, Will.
But what about the argument or the counter argument that, you know, the same thing could have happened in practice? You know, if you're going full, you know, you
yeah, I agree.
Speed in practice and you have that injury.
Yeah,
you know? So what's from your perspective, both of you gentlemen's perspective, I guess what's the differentiating factor, between, you know, a game that means nothing or a practice that means something because you're trying to prep yourself and get better?
I guess for me, I would say this is that if you're going in practice in this situation, at least you're going against your own ones. So that means you're prepped. Like if I'm Baltimore, I'm going against probably one of the best defense in the NFL. So I'm getting set. I'm getting ready. Like my skill set's going to definitely be better than playing the Washington football team second, third unit. So that's going to, I'm going to be more ready and more ready to go. I'm good with that rather than just playing against third dudes who just try to make a football team, like who don't even have, who aren't guys who are Pro Bowl caliber or starters or whatever. These are individuals who are just used for depth. You know what I'm saying? So if anything, I'm cool with then just practicing against at practice rather than just, you know, playing against the Washington scout team or something.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ole. Like, practice, as crazy as it sounds, but I think it means more than what the last preseason game means. You're going up against your own squad, like Ole said, and you're preparing for that. They're going up against an elite defense that you're going to face all season. It might not be the same exact, but they can at least replicate it because your starting defense is amazing. But then when you bring them out to go against threes and fours, people are looking to make the first initial cut at least, or second initial cut, and you have your ones out there, it's a waste because, like you said, the defense is not going to provide them with any kind of challenge. It's already a vanilla defense in preseason anyway, so how much are you really going to test and study on your ones against no names? And especially the more like established veterans who've already been here, or like really special playmakers that are known for sure their spot is safe and known that they're a starter. Like, there's no reason Lamar Jackson should have even gotten a rep, and J.K., like, there's just no reason.
I just feel bad. I do feel bad for, as a Michigan fan, you know, J.K. Dobbins is an Ohio State player. I do feel bad for the kid because I have him on my fantasy football team, and that kind of pissed me off.
Right.
So Will, yeah, he's on that. So we're all in that Football Garbage Time fantasy podcast. I mean, fantasy football league, Will. We're all in this. Trev, okay. We're all in the same league. So, yeah, I drafted J.K. Dobbins, and now I'm screwed. You know what I'm saying? And now, you know what I'm saying? Thank you, John. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, John Harbaugh. You know what I'm saying? He is my enemy right now. Big, real talk, because that's kind of jacked up for me. But, Trey, before I let you go, I want to ask you a question about some of the other cuts. Did you see any players outside the Washington organization who's been cut by other teams that this team may be interested in?
I haven't really studied that quite yet, but I saw before I jumped on here, circling on Twitter, Bernardrick McKinney, the linebacker who played in Houston for a while, and then I was just cut by Miami. I think he's a nice prospect to help out that awful, depleted linebacking group that we have. I think we should focus on, definitely linebackers that are getting cut, but I haven't really seen any noticeable names by other teams that are cut that could help us at least. Like, there are definitely noticeable names, but I don't see that it can help us. So right now, but like you said, we got 2 weeks till week one. more waiver stuff to come, more moves to come this week, so we'll see what happens. But right now, I'm just going to say McKinney, the linebacker, is off the top right now.
And you say KJ Wright, who's just out there, who hasn't been cut. He's out there.
KJ Wright, he's out there, but Wole and I reached out to him. He ain't responding back. Like, he's good, living in the hood, chilling. He's got money. He's a little older of a linebacker, too. And also, I've seen this on Twitter, and people make a good point. If he was that valuable, how come he hasn't been in camp yet? How come no team has picked him up? And then I know I saw another tweet say, well, maybe he wants a lot of money.
No, he wants money.
Give him all the money that he thinks he's worth.
He wants money. That's what it is. He wants money.
Well, I don't necessarily think that's 100% the case, right? Because you think about it, if a veteran, I think, who has at least 5 years in the league, if you sign them before week one, then their contract is automatically guaranteed. If you sign them after week one, then their contract isn't guaranteed.
Facts. That's true.
I think that may be some of the thinking of some of the NFL executives, prior to them reaching out to him. And I probably, he's a guy who could still help. He could still help a team.
Oh, definitely.
You may see him on someone's roster on week two.
I think KJ Wright can still play ball. I think he can play at a high level.
Oh, for sure.
I think he would, if he came, and then they decided, if they pulled the trigger and brought him here, he would easily be a starter. Put it that way. He would easily be a starter.
Yep.
KJ Wright is.
Take John Bostic's spot right now.
Easy. In a second. In a second. No knock on John Bostic.
Real quick before I go.
Go ahead.
I have a question. Do we want Cam Newton? Do we want Cam Newton?
Nah, I mean, I'm a pro Cam dude. Everybody know I'm pro Cam. But not here. It just wouldn't work out. It's just not a move for this organization. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you.
I agree. I don't think, at this point in time, it's the right time to bring in Cam Newton. I thought that they were going to do it. I thought, I thought the possibility of him signing with Washington was going to be good, prior to them signing Fitzpatrick. But.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If Ron doesn't want him, and he's the one who drafted him, that means there's something that we all don't know if Ron doesn't want him because he drafted him.
Yeah, and I think that plays a part. And also, I think Ron is just ready for a new chapter. You know what I'm saying? When you bring in a Cam Newton to any organization, especially trying to bring in your goal is to get a younger quarterback down the road. It just doesn't work. It's just something about that. It's just not a good mesh. You know what I mean? It's nothing against Cam or whatever. It's just that you're trying to go a different route. You want to kind of go to the new phase of your career, right? And you've been linked with this guy for such a long time. So it's just not the move to make. So I wish Cam the best, man. So many great moments for Cam, as a football fan, watching the dude. So just wish him the best. All right, so Trey, before we let you go, how can folks catch your show? Again, you told us earlier, but also how can they catch you on social media?
Social media, I'm on Twitter, @TrevStoresWFT. On Instagram, I'm Trev_Stores. You can find me on Football Garbage Time Podcast on all podcast platforms, Rep the District, all podcast platforms, and Full Press Coverage, Washington.com for my articles. And like I said, we're starting up a podcast too, 2 episodes out now on YouTube. So you can just find me everywhere. Send me a message, link up. We'll discuss ball. And you guys, also, I want to come back on here and talk NBA because I definitely want to be a part of that. And okay. All I'm going to say before I go is the Lakers are going to win the championship this year, hands down.
I love it, Trey. What I'm talking about.
Not just because of Ole, but it's just obvious.
It is very obvious. It's very obvious.
Right? I don't think it's that obvious, but I welcome you to come back.
The entire team could start if they want to. Literally. You could pick
the
anybody on that team
and
put a starting five.
The entire team, out of the entire 12 players, 9 of them are almost my age.
That's fun.
It's no
Tom Brady
it's
is 44. Tom Brady is 44.
Why are we doing ageism, Will?
Tom Brady is 44, doesn't eat cheese, milk, or eat a tomato. I'm pretty sure those guys on the Lakers drink brown.
LeBron is a genius, bro. If you got to start watching him. Every time he talks to somebody on the slide, when he's playing against him or whatever, covers his mouth or whatever, you know exactly what he's doing. And it's something about when people come to play with LeBron, it changes the whole MO of how they used to play, and they lock in and they win championships. You'll wait. It's gonna happen this year.
I'm with you, Trav.
I don't necessarily. I do look forward to it because I think we're on a collision course of seeing Brooklyn versus LA, and I think this would be one of the, if both of these teams do make it to the final, it'd be one of the highest rated finals we've seen in a long time.
Definitely. Totally.
But I'm not gonna front roll it. It also depends on health.
Always.
If the Lakers
man.
Are healthy.
Always, man.
They'll win.
Always.
But if you know, like he said, they do have a couple old bodies on there. So
look, man, we'll see, man. Look, I'm all, long as you can still put the ball in the hoop, man. I'm sick of ageism, man. I hear it all the time. As an individual now who's of their age, and I feel like when I hear people talk about, oh, this person's too old, I'd be like, hey, as long as this person can still either throw a football, or he can still hoop, or hit a baseball, or even score a goal, whatever. Like, hey. We don't need this. We need to stop talking about age. Just keep doing your job.
It's discrimination. Will.
Exactly, man. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not discrimination, man. It's,
I'm just messing with you.
It's just fact.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, LeBron is still one of the best players in the league, and he's what, 36, 37?
He's 37
years in the league, 37, too. 37, you know what I'm saying? Hey, and we don't – I'm just saying, bro. I know Father Time is undefeated, but I'm just saying. It is what it is. Hey, Trev, man, appreciate you for being on. We're going to get you back on, bro. That's a given, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. All right.
I appreciate it.
No problem. Take it easy, my man.
All right, man. Take care.
Nice to meet you, Will.
All right. My man, Trev.
Nice to meet you, too, bro.
Again, you can follow Trev on Twitter at TrevStoresWFT. That's at TrevStoresWFT. All right. There have been some exciting rookies balling in the preseason. We'll talk about a few after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
The Ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
On Empire Media.
On EmpireMedia.com.
Yeah! For the first time, it's going down history, baby. New 3-6 Mafia. Featuring 8-Ball and MJG. Young Buck. It's a Tennessee thing. We gotta stay.
I'm the main. Ice on the wrist with the ice in the chain. Ride through the hood, yeah, I'm gripping the grain and I'm sipping the same while I'm changing the lane.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Will T, Ray Jeezy is out, and we are part of Empire Media. That's AmpireMedia.com.
And the entire NFL, which rookies have impressed you the most during the preseason?
I saw he balled his last game. I like Trevor Lawrence. I'm a big fan of Trevor Lawrence. Just think that he's the best quarterback in the draft. I just hope that Urban Meyer doesn't mess him up, but I was impressed with him. Also, I was impressed with, he's a backup, but I've liked him a lot. When I was watching the Colts play, Ellinger, he played in Texas last year. He was a Texas quarterback Longhorn quarterback. Yeah, he balls, dog. He can play pause. He can do the darn thing, man. I was very impressed with what I saw from him. He has great command. I heard somebody compare him to Colt McCoy, and I was like, that's a bad comparison because Colt McCoy, when he was in Texas, had nothing but talent around him in terms of NFL talent at the skill position. He didn't have that much NFL talent around him. I mean, for Texas has talent, but not a lot of, you know, first round picks in terms of what we've seen in the past in Texas under the Colt McCoy, Vince Young era. But this kid, he just has a command of the huddle, command of the offense, and he's just a baller. He's a winner, and you can just see it. Like, he has it. Now, I don't know if he'll ever become the starter for the Colts if, you know, something happens with Carson Wentz, but I saw something special in dude. And a lot of these rookies look good, though, to be honest with you. How about yourself, Will?
Out of all of the rookies, like I said, I haven't watched a lot of preseason football.
Okay, how about this? Who was your favorite? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, but Arthur, how about this for you? Who was your favorite, or out of all the rookies that you, if which who you saw that impressed you the most?
Who impressed me the most?
Yeah,
Mac Jones.
See, you like Mac Jones? See,
Mac Jones is the guy.
Okay, and you, and he,
I mean, he impressed me the most.
Okay,
he impressed me the most from this standpoint, right?
Mm-hmm.
What, when you look at what you know, and this is me watching, you know, the couple of clips.
Yeah.
I've seen, they looked like they would, what they were doing offensively was what they used to do with Tom Brady.
I got you.
Which is a lot of empty gun. Mac Jones calling the protection, changing the protection, and having one or two plays at the line of scrimmage and deciding which one was the right one to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. With Cam Newton, a lot of what they did when he was the quarterback was they had Cam Newton under center and not out in the shotgun getting the ball out quickly, which was what they did with Mac Jones. So to me, it looked like as if they were doing more of traditionally what they had been doing in the past.
Mm.
That's what was so impressive to me about him. And, you know, also his ability, you know, I saw a couple of deep throws that he connected on.
Yeah. I mean, Mac Jones is fine. I mean, if folks don't know, you know, that's the reason Cam was cut. And we talked about Cam, and Mac Jones is now going to be the starter for the New England Patriots. A lot of people were impressed with his first game, well, against Washington. I wasn't, because I think he averaged like 4.6 yards a pass, and you know, everybody was gassing it up on social media, and I was like, all right, it's 4.6 yards a pass. It's not that difficult. It's nothing special against the second, third string team of Washington. Then, you know, the last couple games against the Eagles, he played well against the Eagles, and I want to say he played against, I forgot the other team he played against, but he had a good game, good performance. So it's nothing to go against, nothing to speak negatively about. But I am going to be interested to see how he performs against the first unit, because he hasn't really been seeing the first unit while in the Giants. Yeah, he played well against the Giants, so that was the third team. So we're going to get to see him have an opportunity to play against the first unit. So that's going to be the test for him to see how he plays against the first unit, and then we'll see if he's like Brady-ish or not. You know, Brady. That was a different NFL. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, they like to compare him to Brady. Brady's a different quarterback, mentally a different quarterback. Physically, even a different quarterback, to be honest with you, in terms of arm strength. A lot of people talk about Brady doesn't have a vicious arm, but his arm is good. It's good enough. It's not Aaron Rodgers, but it's a solid arm. Mac Jones' arm isn't the best arm. Like, it's more comparable when I watch him. It's comparable to Chad Pennington for the Jets. But Chad Pennington was a dog. I love Chad Pennington.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
He has a noodle arm?
Bruh. It's a Chad Pennington arm. That's the type of arm he does have. But Chad Pennington was a dog, though. That's a different dude. That's, even with that arm, that dude was a dog. You couldn't tell him he didn't have an arm. That's what I loved about Chad. You couldn't tell him he didn't have an arm. But, yeah, that's how I look at it. But, you know, a lot of people think he has the mental of a Tom Brady, and he's super accurate. I mean, let's see how accurate you are against NFL caliber players. I mean, defenses, because again, when you look at, because the Patriots don't have star receivers on their roster. So we're going to see how you can work with Little, because you're not in Alabama where all your wide receivers are first round picks. You're now in New England going against top tier defenses, and let's see how you respond to it. Luckily, you have a great coach, Bill Belichick, who in practice should get you ready, and you should be ready. But, you know, talent wins over everything at times. So we got to see how it works out. But, yeah, man.
That's very true. But I think one of the things that you – I'm not going to come up here, go on here and say that Mac Jones is going to be ultra successful and he's going to be the best rookie quarterback. I know we'll discuss that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But I do think – one of the things that he does have that's going to be an advantage to him is he has two tight ends.
Yeah.
Two solid pass-catching, big-body tight ends that make it a little bit easier, because he'll be able to throw passes in between the hashes.
No, I agree. I think
in the center of the field.
Yeah, it's definitely
with those two tight ends, you can use those guys to help identify coverage.
No, I
make it a little bit easier for him.
No, it should be. We all know a quarterback's best friend is the tight ends, right? So definitely, he doesn't have to worry about if the tight ends do their job, right? He should have openings in that regard, and also do him a favor by running the football. You know, Harris, the starting running back for the Patriots. You know, he had a solid year last year. They can just feed him the rock. They should be fine. I mean, they should be okay. Just the way Bill Belichick plays. I mean, coaches, they'll be in games. I don't doubt Bill Belichick. They will be in games. So I guess from your vantage point, would you say Mac Jones is going to be the most impactful rookie?
No.
Okay.
The most impactful rookie is also a quarterback, but it's going to be Justin Fields.
Oh, you like Justin Fields?
I don't believe that Andy Dalton will be starting.
Okay.
More than maybe 3 or 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Matt Nagy, you're the head coach. You're pretty much, you're almost on your last life in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to find a way to potentially prolong your coaching career in Chicago. What better way to do that by than playing a rookie quarterback, showing that you can have, showing him progressing, getting better, and solidify yourself spot as the coach next year.
Yeah, I mean, Justin.
I think Justin Fields come in and Matt Nagy puts him in a position to win, to be successful with some short passes and creates opportunities for him to get outside of the pocket and scramble.
You know what, Justin Fields, I do agree with him, you know, backing up for right now, because it's, you know, going to Ohio State and that passing offense doesn't typically kind of work out for quarterbacks in the NFL, but I will say, like, Chicago does have a situation where, you know, defensively, they're good enough where I feel like you can kind of stall time with a Justin Fields. Like, right? Because what he brings to the table with his legs, and he can't throw the rock, but it'll give him – but in terms of getting used to the NFL style of a passing game, you know, it may take him some time. Just like Ben Roethlisberger when he was in Pittsburgh, right? Like, it took him a while to get used to it, but the defense kind of stalled time for him. And by the time he kind of got used to certain things, he became a better quarterback and the team was winning football games. So I think you can utilize Justin Fields that way. And just, you know, they would have to kind of, you know, lean on Montgomery and the defense and then get a couple of splash plays from Robinson. Right. So it could work. I'm not going to knock it. I think it definitely could work. I forgot to mention him. I love Trey Lance, though. Like, Trey Lance looks amazing. Like, I just think that Trey Lance, like, and you're talking about situations where I think, you know, where he can be impactful if he starts, if he takes Jimmy G's job, and I think he can take Jimmy G's job. If he starts with Kyle Shanahan, the way Kyle Shanahan make things, you know, simple, and with that arm, that mobility, we've seen that here in D.C. with Robert Griffin III, so how he kind of simplified the offense and kind of, you know, did what was best for Robert to make him a household name while in D.C. I think he can do that, you know, with Trey Lance. Trey Lance has so much ability, can throw the football, and just has that it factor when you watch him. So that's a guy I think he can make a big impact. And I'll give credit when credit's due. I didn't think, you know, before preseason, I wasn't high on the dude. But after watching him in preseason, he has kind of, like, caught my attention. Quarterback for the Jets in Zach Wilson. Out of BYU. Yeah, he's looked good. I'm not going to lie. Not going to fake it. He's looked good. I won't even fake it.
Yeah, out of all the rookie quarterbacks, I think Trey, you hit the nail on the head. Trey Lance is the guy who's probably in the best position because of the coach that he has.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that coach can do.
Yes.
With a quarterback that's kind of multi-talented. You know, who can run and pass and have a strong arm.
Mm-hmm. And he's done well with quarterbacks, right? I mean, he's getting Matt. I mean, Matt Ryan has had his best years under him. I mentioned Griffin, Matt Schaub when he was in with the Houston Texans, right? He's done pretty well with quarterbacks over his and Jimmy G, right? So he's done really well with quarterbacks under, you know, who's taken under his wings and who he's taught and mentored or whatnot. So I think there's an opportunity for this kid to learn. Now, you don't have to rush him in, you know, ASAP, but, you know, once he decides to put him in, I'm sure that Trey Lance will be ready. Like, once he decides to say, okay, you're the starter, that means he's passed all of Kyle's tests, and then you know that he'll be ready to rock for that football team. But we don't have to go to break. We can go straight to the next segment. It's been reported that the Philadelphia 76ers Sixers forward Ben Simmons wants out of Philly. Will T, your thoughts about that, my man?
Look, he played his cards right, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he wanted to get out of Philadelphia, then waiting until training camp starts, not saying that you want to be traded, you know, around the draft time, but pressing the issue and saying, hey, I'm not reporting to training camp, was the right thing to do. I think if you're Ben Simmons, you're probably at the point where it's probably best for you to get a clean break and start somewhere else. But having said that, you know, there's also things that go along with that, specifically finding a trade partner that will provide Philadelphia with what they want.
So who do you think is the best training partner? What's the best fit for Ben?
Best fit. I think Golden State.
Ooh, I think it's a good fit.
Ideal fit
Me
for
too.
Him.
Me too. That's good.
Because only because it's documented that Ben Simmons, from an assist standpoint, creates the most three-pointers, right? And then you can play Steph Curry and you can play Klay Thompson when he comes back off of the ball and, you know, let Ben Simmons bring the ball up, initiate the offense and, you know, get those guys free off of backdoor cuts and, you know, flare screens and motion, and within your motion set. But the one thing that kind of creates the conundrum for Golden State is, you know, Philadelphia is going to want a proven all-star or a young player that's ascending to the point where he could become an all-star. And I look at that Golden State roster, you know, as impressive as Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga looked in summer league. In Philadelphia, you want someone who can come in right now and contribute to you getting over the hump and being a championship team.
So,
and I don't necessarily think those guys could do that. So I think Golden State is one place. Of course, the obvious that's kind of been floated for months, Portland. But, you know, if you're Portland, why would you give up? Why would you make that trade? You know, you want to add someone. You know, and the trade I mean is Damian Lillard for Ben Simmons. But if you're Portland, you're looking to add someone to play with Damian Lillard, not get rid of him at this point, you know, before you've even given it a chance with Chauncey Billups as your head coach.
So what about CJ McCollum? I think CJ McCollum is one of the more underrated ballers in the game, period.
He is, but, you know, if you're Philadelphia, and you look well
because you can win with CJ.
I think CJ McCollum, Joel Embiid will work with Steve. You know, that skill set will work. But I think, you know, let's try this one on for size. Another trade, you know, because of the acquisitions that they made, I think the Chicago Bulls would be an ideal spot for Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
You know, if you are, I do.
I agree.
And you give up, DeMar DeRozan and Lonzo Ball for Ben Simmons. Have to. Now I know they've given up a couple of first round picks, but you know if you get a first round pick from somewhere else, or if you have some first round picks you're willing to give up, I think that in Philadelphia you potentially look at that as and say, all right, it's not ideally what we want, but, you know, with DeMar DeRozan and Lonzo Ball, that puts us in a position where we can compete for a championship, and Lonzo Ball can still grow with Joel Embiid.
That's not a bad one either. If Chicago's willing to do it, it's not a bad one. I thought you were going to say, like, have Lonzo, DeRozan, and maybe a draft pick or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's team light skin for real. Like, LaVine, Lonzo, and Ben.
I think you would have to give up Lonzo.
Yeah, DeRozan. You would have to give up two of them. I was actually thinking to a point when you were going to Golden State and you were talking about young players, I was thinking of, and I think so highly of the kid, to be honest with you, if you were going to really go that route. And I just think he'd be better than Ben. And I like Ben a lot, to be honest with you. And Wiseman and Draymond Green. And then see if you can kind of finagle that. But I think that's giving up a lot for the Warriors, like to give up Wiseman. I just think Wiseman is going to be a dog. Like, it ain't going to be funny. Like, I think Wiseman.
I do too. I think that if you go to State, the best thing for you to do is to have a meeting of the minds with Clay, Draymond, and Steph and say, hey, you know, I know we can't compete for a championship this year with these three young guys, but we have to take the time to groom and develop these guys this year, because if we groom and develop these guys this year, you know, you get Jonathan Wiseman with a full year under his belt.
Yeah, bro.
Then next year, you could potentially, you know.
Man, he could be.
It may be a changing of the guard, but, you know, you could potentially be, you know, at a point where you're saying, all right, we're competing for a championship, because the Lakers would be a year older.
Yep, agreed.
Denver. Yep, Denver. We don't necessarily know what that team could do. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, the Dallas Mavericks. You know, with Luka and Porzingis, they need to figure out what their, you know, how they can make it work. You know, a year from, you know, going into, you know, the 2022 season, you could potentially be right back at the point you were competing for a championship if you take the time to develop those three young players.
I don't think that they're – I don't even think they can – they don't have to make any moves. I'm with you, Will. Like, for real talk, a year for Wiseman, next year Wiseman could be at a different level. Just this next – just the up for the upcoming season. Like, so you can get a more mature Wiseman who had a real camp and everything, right? You're going to get a better version of Wiseman. Then and he's already ultra talented. He's ultra talented. And then you're talking about Kuminga. You're talking about Kuminga and what's cuz who played for Moody. Yeah. Kuminga and Moody. Yep. Like, bro, like, you don't really have to, like, you can be competitive, real competitive this season, to be honest with you. Because what's gonna happen is we forget, you know, everybody trashes Andrew Wiggins, but he's still one of the better two way players in the league, right? So you got Andrew Wiggins. Clay's going to come back eventually this season. You're going to be good enough to do some damage in the league, especially later, right? When Clay gets there, you'll be, and if Draymond, you get that unit back with Iguodala, you could still do damage. Like, you'll surprise a lot of people. And if you're peaking at the right time, who's to say you can't surprise folks and make it to the finals, right? Because you have that pedigree. So, like, then you add another year, what you said, another, you know, after this season. Yo, you're going to be ready. You dig what I'm saying? Like, you're going to be ready. So I'm with you, bro. Like, they don't need to make any moves to go after a Ben Simmons. Like, you're close already. And even if you get Ben this season, like, you probably may – that may not even put you over the top because, again, you're still waiting on Clay. So you're still waiting anyway, regardless of the fact. So why not wait with your young talent that's going to probably have you win – that can have you win multiple championships? If cultivated correctly. But let's go to Rondo real quick, you know, before we, you know, end the show off. The Lakers signed guard Rajon Rondo to a 1 year, $2.6 million deal. We talked about it briefly with the homie Trev. How does this signing help the team?
I mean, you provide another ball handler with that second, specifically with that second unit, which was something that it seems as if the Lakers struggled with last season when LeBron wasn't on the court, when you went to the second unit, a guy who can, you know, put guys in the right position and run the right sets. But I think the more interesting question is, how's that locker room dynamic going to be with Westbrook and LeBron?
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
That's the question I want to know.
I mean, I feel like you got dudes that gonna hold young dude, hold folks accountable. That's what I do like about it. You know, got people who are playing with an edge and confidence, and then people who won't back down LeBron. I think that's, I just think that's very important. Folks who LeBron respects it. If they say something to him, that's the one thing about Rondo. Like he respected Rondo so much that, you know, he just fell in line with it. You dig what I'm saying? So I think having dudes like that are good because lack of a better term, they check on LeBron. And you haven't got even Melo. All these dudes, it's gonna be more of an equal playing field to a certain extent, right? But then also what I like about Rondo, back to the initial thing of like with Rondo, is that like he's gonna allow the second unit to rock. That was something that Dennis Schroeder didn't really do because they wanted him to man the second unit, but he wanted to be a starter, right? Well, Rondo is an individual, and you saw that in their championship run that he gets those other dudes involved, you know, those other dudes involved to get them confident and make them start to rock. So, for instance, a guy like if Monk is on the second unit, he's going to be able to kind of show out because Rondo's going to look for him and kind of try to get his confidence going. Because he did the same thing with Kuzma when Kuzma was here, with Kuzma's in L.A. He's going to do that for all the young dudes they do have on the roster. People like Melo, Melo's going to have a good opportunity because we all know how smart Rondo is. He will give Melo and he'll put Melo in situations to be successful. So I just think I like the addition of Rondo, what he's going to allow for the second unit and some of these dudes that – these younger dudes, they're trying to, you know, make their mark in the NBA. Same for Horton Jr., like Horton Tucker. Like, he's going to make that dude a better basketball player. So I think that just the basketball IQ of Rondo and the leadership, especially when it comes to young dudes, I like the signing for Rondo. I think he's going to have a big impact for the young basketball players on the basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. You know, basketball season, you know, I can't wait for it. Mm-hmm. Probably, what, two?
It's coming, bro.
No. It'll be.
We're already in September.
We're about here before we know it.
Yeah, we're about here in September. Season starts in October, right?
September, yep.
So the season starts in October, right?
So.
Yep. And it's a natural 82-game season, right? We're not doing that half stuff for like 82 games, right?
Yep, 82 games.
Yeah.
Yep, October 3rd is mm-hmm. the start of the season.
See? And that
Lakers,
means
– Nets.
Yep.
No, excuse me. No, that's the preseason.
Preseason?
That's
okay.
When the preseason starts.
That's still close enough, bro.
I believe the regular season starts. Regular season starts October 19th.
Yeah. I'm telling you, bro. It's here. Like, I'm not here, but you know what I mean? We're going to start really basketball season going to be right around the corner. It's going to come like it's going to be here so fast. And then we're going to get to see some of these rookies play. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to be dope, man. I'm very excited. Not speaking just as a Laker fan, but speaking in general, just so many things, so many storylines. And we just talked about, like, I can't wait to see Klay Thompson. The Christmas games look lit. There's so many storylines, man. So many. So I'm with you, bro. Basketball season right around
first,
the corner.
I mean, but first we got to, you know, wait for football season to start.
Facts, bro. Facts, yeah. Yeah, and that's
two more weeks,
bro. Two more weeks. You know, then we get that Thursday night game. Was it Cowboys Tampa, right? I can't wait because I can drag Cowboy fans after Tom Brady's done with him. All right, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Empire, at AmpireMedia@AmpireMedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire Media shows, as well as other great content. Hey, man, always appreciate you all for listening to us. Always appreciate the homie Will T. You know what I'm saying? That's my guy. So Will T, anything you want to say to the good people, the swell people?
Nah, man. You know, it's always fun, you know, getting on here doing the show with you, man. You know, it was great to have Trevor on, you know, meet him. But, you know.
Another great.
That's about it, man.
Hey, man.
Everyone have a safe Labor Day. You know, stay safe.
Yeah,
you
stay
know,
safe.
Follow the guidelines out here. You know,
don't be like Cam. That's why he lost his job. Yeah, man. Follow these guidelines. COVID's real.
Yes, it is.
COVID is real. Hey, anyway, you've been listening to the urban sports scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.